Yeah. I'm right back at it with my brother Jay Dutch. Fresh new trash for the family, what the fuck? My man Big Derek, but we call him old school. About to get up on the mic and straight up act school. Ain't no fiction here, cause we only talking facts. If he's talking about the bucks, he don't cut him no slack. No need to waste time, and let's get right to it. What the fuck podcast, ain't nothing to it but to do it. Yeah. About to turn it over to my man old school with the what the fuck podcast. Check it, yo. Nothing can stop us, man. It's what the fuck. It's what the fuck. Yeah. It's what the fuck. Yeah. It's what the fuck. Nothing can stop us, man. It's what the fuck.
Hello, everyone. This is Old School from WhatTheBuck.net coming to you live from Studio 76. And actually, I should change that. I should stop saying live, especially for the next 2 weeks, because the show will not be live. I'm going to go the way of other podcasts and record this in advance without the interaction and apparently with noises from my phone in the background. Because to be honest, as a fan, last week hit me pretty hard. I know it hit a lot of you hard. And while normally we would do this as sort of a water cooler session and almost have this be some sort of counseling session, I'm going to choose a little bit of a different path for my own well-being. As weird as that may sound to non-sports people, though I can't fathom a world in which a non-sports person would listen to a niched podcast like this, though I can imagine a significant other of one of the listeners hearing it and going, wow, this guy is taking this shit way too seriously. Anyway, before we do any of that, I want to kick off with the thanks to the people who allow us to do the things that haven't let us down. And when I think about the things that haven't let us down, I think about those diehard fans who are still here. They may be unhappy. They may be swinging wildly at the fences about what's wrong. I may disagree with them vehemently about personnel decisions they may want to make. But we all know those 30 to 40,000 Bucks fans that have been here through worse and will be here through better whenever that decides to show up again. Those folks, along with us, have created something pretty special here in Tampa that we can all be proud of. The group that I'm happy to work with What the Buck and with What the Buck Really Matters, with our 100-plus consistent tailgates, the only Hall of Fame tailgate in Tampa, supported by folks like Steps Towing, Pepin Distributing, Tito's Vodka, Don Q Rum, and of course our friends at Steakhouse Elite. You guys know all of our tailgates. Net proceeds go to charity. The two for Movember. The first one happened at the end of October. We pulled that into November, and the next one will be the Jets game on Sunday. Our attendance on the Panthers games is always low. It was about half what we had in the other one, so we're a little bit under our target. So hopefully we'll have a big turnout for the Jets game, and we'll continue to wear these silly mustaches and try and raise awareness for prostate and testicular cancer, as it is certainly one of the cancers that we can kick the shit out of if we get some early discovery. A reminder, this season, the entire season, from a What the Buck perspective, is dedicated to our friend Richard Zeller, Stuck. We miss you, Stuck. We miss you at the tailgates. We miss you at the events. We miss you at all the places where we always went. But let's transition this into what's going on in Buccaneer universe. I was in New Orleans with a large contingent of Bucks fans, great, vociferous, fun, passionate Bucks fans who made the trip to, in my opinion, the best city in the country. And we had a great time all the way up until the game. The game was just disgusting, to be honest. And what's weird about it is that all the way up until halftime, or just after halftime, we're still in the game, despite playing just absolutely shitty football. There was still a legitimate chance that we could get back in that game, and that's without some sort of, you know, Herculean effects at the end, or, you know, amazing set of catastrophic events for the Saints. It was a game that was still well within our reach, even with the block punt on a whiffed block, and all of the other bad shit that happened. So all of the normal complaints, consternations, frustrations, etc., are swirling about in the Twitterverse and beyond. Folks want everyone fired, some people beaten. The contingent that hated Jameis Winston before, who had been forced into their caves, have now come back out in full force with the accusations of him being a thug and various other thinly veiled references that I find completely reprehensible. You cannot like the man as a player. You can take issue with the problems he's had this year, which have been regression in a lot of ways on the field. There's no doubt about that. But to go back to sort of the old tropes that have not been borne out and clearly didn't have any substantiation anyway, especially when most of the folks who are making these accusations and allegations have no firsthand knowledge of the young man, to be quite frank, is below most of you. And if it's not below you, then thank you for self-identifying and go pound sand. We are very fortunate here in Tampa to have someone who I think is just a fantastic young man, very talented, incredibly passionate, leading the team, who has an immense amount of ability. And yes, it sucks that this year has not turned out the way we want it to be, and we'll be peeling apart the film and trying to figure out the whys and what fors. But don't make any mistake about it. We are still way better off with him on this roster than we would be without. And you can look at the other side of the fence, and the grass is always greener, and oh man, look at this rookie doing this, or this second-year guy doing that. But you do realize that for every one of those, there's the RG3s and the Johnny Manziels that most of those folks were still pounding their chest about and wanted us to use instead of Jameis Winston, who suck. It is a roulette game. And to be honest, guys, as someone who does know Jameis and has had the opportunity to get to know Jameis to a certain degree, I think we're really, really fortunate to have him. I hope he's able to right the physical things that are going on. He did take a nasty hit on that same shoulder, so it doesn't surprise me that it was re-injured or made a little bit worse. Now, it's a soft tissue injury, or at least that's what was reported, an AC sprain. So it's not something that I would imagine surgical intervention would need to happen, but you do have to isolate the joint. You have to get oxygen in there. You have to get the inflammation down. That takes rest. And with this season over, by any measure other than, you know, pure mathematics, it just doesn't make sense for him to continue. That all being said, there are a number of things that we need to go through as we talk about this last week. When we went into the game, there was a discussion about what the Bucs needed to do in order to try and, you know, make some headway against the New Orleans Saints. And the challenge we have is that we did none of them. The New Orleans Saints defense is not the defense of old. Their linebackers were incredibly diligent. If you guys followed me on Twitter during the game, they were not leaving their assignments. Doug Martin's attempts to cut back were not going to work. Someone on the sideline should have informed him of that. He should have realized it. I don't care what happened. But even as ineffective as the offensive line was, and don't get me wrong, and I know that Trevor Sikkema from PewReport.com, Tampa Bay Trey, I know that Chris Fisher from Bucks Brief Podcast of yore, a lot of folks have been going after this offensive line. I've been trying to defend them. I will go on a mea culpa later about all the things I have been wrong about thus far this season. And one of the first and foremost is about the evolution of this offensive line, because never has it been so obvious that this is a line that has devolved than it was Sunday in New Orleans. So even with that backdrop, if linebackers are staying home, if it's a full flow right, you've got to go where the play is designed to go and get the 3 yards you can get and stop trying to make it a 12-yard gain, because the linebackers are not going to leave. We didn't do that. Peyton Barber did a little bit when he was in there. He made a little bit of headway doing that. You've got to be decisive, hit the gap you're supposed to, hit the hole you're supposed to, and get the yards you can, and we didn't do that. Now, once again, we are incapable of using all of these weapons that we have, regardless of who the quarterback is, because it seems as though we have fallen directly into the issue where you have a dream team, right? There's only one ball. And so instead of taking advantage of mismatches and doing the things we're good at, it seems as though we've gotten analysis paralysis, or paralysis by analysis, where, well, how can we possibly maximize every one of these plays? Well, and instead of just taking what they give you, like Drew Brees did that first drive, if you go back and watch the first drive of the Saints, all he did was take what the defense gave him. It's a basic fundamental of football, guys. We have mismatches all over the field that we do nothing with. Instead, we have this concept that we want to run them on these route combinations because the route combinations are magically going to make things better, but we don't give the quarterback enough time to actually get through progressions if he's able to, which quite honestly, Jameis has not been doing a good job of, because he's been focusing on trying to get the ball to individual players for reasons that could be anything from he thinks it's a mismatch. It could be completely altruistic, though altruistic is probably a stretch. It's not about altruism. He may think that's the right strategic move, is the right way to say it. Or he may feel pressure to try and get the ball to the shiny new toy, DeSean Jackson, who's super fast. You get him the ball, he can do great things. Mike Evans, he hasn't disappeared, but I mean, this is one of the top five receivers in the league. And by the way, we'll talk a little bit about you guys who are jumping on Mike Evans' jock and calling him a thug too, because go fuck yourself. Mike Evans has been a great guy here. He's been a great teammate, a consummate teammate. And all this did was give folks, and I haven't been political about this, and I'm not trying to make this podcast political either, but all I heard was, Now it was, oh yeah, well, he also knelt for the anthem. He's obviously a bad guy because, look, he hit the guy and he knelt for the anthem. Guys, come on, pull your heads out of your asses. Separate the two items. I get it, there are different camps on the anthem thing, but Jesus, could you please extricate yourself from this ridiculousness and realize we have a uniquely talented receiver who did the wrong thing. Now, I said it in the game, I say it now. If my players did that, they both would have gotten into the showers. There's no way. My quarterback on the bench, my starting wide receiver, you act like that, you're done. I don't care if it's the NFL or not. And I know Mike Singletary was a shit head coach, but when he pulled the pads off of Vernon Davis, it was one of the coolest things I've ever seen. Because you're never above the team. You play for the name on the front of the jersey, not the back. And if you're going to act like an asshole, you're going to get to the showers. And that's from a guy who loves both of these guys. I love Mike Evans and Jameis Winston on the field and off the field. I don't want anything bad to happen to either one of them. But if you do something stupid, there are going to be repercussions. Because if there aren't repercussions, there is no discipline. If there is no discipline, there is no goddamn leadership. And that is the problem. We are a team devoid of leadership. And when you look at the people that we brought in to make the team better, and this isn't a slight to Chris Baker or to DeSean Jackson. These are uniquely talented players. But they weren't leaders where they were. They're good players who can come in and produce for you. Now, I think that what the organization believed was that our leadership in the locker room was already so good that they would be able to incorporate them. Or maybe that the combination of our leadership in the locker room and our coaching staff was good enough that they could incorporate them and that they could weather the storms and they could get through any issues. Well, guess what? Knocking at the door is adversity, and it just kicked our teeth in, not once, but six times. So instead of being net positive, these two uniquely talented players have been a net negative, not because they can't play the game, not because they're not out there trying to play the game, but because they haven't made the team better. Now, how much of this would have been different? I was talking to my friend Nikki, Bucks Princess. If we had had a kicking game worth a shit and we had two more wins, if we're sitting at 4-4, is the ship sinking? No, it's not. And that's a cautionary tale for all of you out there. That's the difference in this league. That's how close the difference is between being ecstatic and being happy and being a, you know, excited fan and all of this stuff and being dejected and disgusted and going out to Bourbon Street and not even being able to have fun on the coolest in the coolest area in the country because you just watch your team lay down. Field goals. You know? And that's not yelling at light. Listen, you make the best call you can. He went after Aguayo. I think he was a ballsy move. It didn't pay off. Cut his losses. Stayed with Folk, probably too long. It's always easy to judge those in hindsight. But had the kicking game been there and we had two more wins, would we be in a different state? And I think psychologically we would be. So I think when you look at this, the shit gumbo, and I talked about this in the podcast leading up to the game, where you wake up in the morning, you look for a bike, and instead you open up the present, and it's a big pile of shit. That shit gumbo that they're making is underperformance of stars, inability to integrate additional stars, having too many weapons, right? Tinkering with things that didn't work out, betting on folks like Jack Smith and Noah Spence, who, for injury reasons or other reasons, have not been able to produce from the defensive end position. Especially when combined with the going down of Levante David and Quan Alexander, who were really the heart and soul of that defense and the thing that allowed Mike Smith some flexibility because his front four wasn't getting the pressure. But when they went out, he had to use rookies who played admirably but don't know the defense as well. And then when they come back, they're rusty. It has been an absolute whirlwind of fuckery this season, guys. That is not to exonerate anyone or to get anyone off the hook because guess what? You wake up, you put your pants on, and that's your job. Those guys are paid well to figure out ways to get through this. And if I have, well, I have more than one beef, but the focus beef that I'm going to be on this particular podcast is that's what this coaching staff has failed most miserably at. Realizing current state, simplifying, adjusting, modifying to the point where they could execute. Because right now, we look like that vibrating football game. Ladies, don't get excited. It's the football game you click and it vibrates, the little guys run around. It vaguely resembles football because the guys look like football players, but really all that happens is the guys run around in odd patterns and someone eventually touches the guy that has the ball. We barely look better than that right now at times. Now, with all of that said, I am staying by my position that I think head coaches in this league deserve 5 years. I don't think that we should change again. I don't think Cutter's a bad guy. I don't think that he's stupid. I don't think that his staff is inept. I think his staff, like every staff in every company all across the world, is always under evaluation. And if people are underperforming, whether it's Jay Hayes or Coach Hop or any of these guys, if they're not getting the job done, you have to evaluate why. Was it their call? Was it a group decision? Why did we make that decision? What has been the result? Are you good teachers of the game? You revisit the decisions, you adjust, and you move forward. What you can't do is turtle up or shove your head in the sand and pretend that this isn't an absolute clusterfuck, because it is. It's one thing to come out and not have talent. It's one thing to come out and not have any expectations. This team had tons of expectations. This team has tons of talent. And if I see one more person on Twitter say, well, where's the talent? Where's the talent? Look at the roster. If you can't figure it out, then stop fucking tweeting about football. This team has tons of talent. Are they talented everywhere? No, no team is. This team has enough talent to be a contender. This team has enough talent to threaten anyone in the league. This team is underperforming. This team is a disappointment. And the fact that this team has now snowballed into not giving 100% effort all the time, something that I have stayed way away from because it's very hard to project that on people. These are professionals. They know that this film that they put up follows them everywhere they go. But I see more dragon ass than I care to see. And I get it. It sucks to lose. A lot of these guys have never lost like this. But some of them have lost like this for too long. Now, I went on a bunch of tirades in the offseason about what I thought that the team had done, because a lot of folks felt like the team hadn't done enough to address some issues. And it's turned out that you've been right. I was wrong. Now, I don't know that they could have addressed it very well. I don't know that there were free agents or people that would have magically made all of this better. And it's impossible to go into the Wayback Machine and see that. But my complacency was clearly unjustified. And we have enough data to assert that at this point. Offensive line was first and foremost. People thought we should have gone and fortified the offensive line. And there are those that hate Donovan Smith or whatever. Donovan has not been playing his best football. I believe Donovan's a talented guy. I thought another year, whole another offseason, and Donovan would come back in better than he was the year before and continue his growth. I was wrong. He has not. He's played acceptably at times, but he is not the left tackle you can leave out on an island. You have to help with the tight end. And for some reason, we only do that when things get super, super bad. When we've had success, we've chipped or we've assisted with the tight end. We get arrogant. We don't do that. Or we haven't committed to a game plan that allows us to take advantage of a defense because we can go on a short clock. The move of Ali Marpet to center is not a problem with Ali Marpet. Ali Marpet has played very well at center. The challenge is, and we talked about this in training camp, it was one of the concerns, when it comes to offensive line, you're talking about choreography. Gigantic choreography, admittedly, but still choreography. So the goal always seems to be to try and get your best five guys on the field, and I think that that was the spirit and intent with Jarris Sweezy coming back healthy, allowing Marpet to go to center, Dotson coming back, and then I thought Pamphil. But what's happened is the team has been non-committal on left guard, shuttling in Evan Smith and Pamphil, which to me is fundamentally stupid. Because you can't build any chemistry that way. If that were something easy to do, then I think you would see shuttling offensive lines regularly. You don't. You don't see offensive linemen checking in and out of the game. You know why? Because it doesn't make any fucking sense. Because I have to know what the guy next to me is going to do. I have to know without having to ask. I have to understand how he is going to respond to the things that I see. And that comes from playing time, shared playing time, full contact playing time. In case I'm not being clear enough, shuttling the left guard is stupid. And at this point, to be honest, I don't care who they pick. But pick one and ride it. But the more concerning problem that Trevor went after on his cover three, and I know that Chris Fisher had been all over early, is that J.R. Sweezy has not been the mauler that he was advertised to be or that he showed up on YouTube film in from Seattle. I don't know how much of that is his ability, because he certainly had the ability, and how much of it is the fact that we have, you know, changed things too significantly, but he never played with the other staff. But we do not have a cohesive five. We do not have an offensive line. We have five offensive line players, actually six, because we keep shuttling that guard. And I'm left wondering, and I know that you're going to call out bias because you guys know that I love Joe Hawley's spirit. I know that he is not athletically as gifted as Ali Marpet. I know that he is prone to injury. But I half wonder if we would not have been better with Joe Hawley at center and if you're going to move Marpet, moving him to the other guard. But one thing I'm sure of is the offensive line that I thought would be fine, that I thought time would have made better, that I thought coaching would have made better, cohesion in the offseason and training camp would have made better, has not been better. When your offensive line is bad, everything else falls apart for that. Now, I'm not in the camp that's in the torches and pitchforks on Doug Martin. I still think he's the best back on the team, and it's not close. He's not running the ball particularly effectively right now. Some of that is not having the ability to. Some of it's not getting the ball. And some of it is trying to make too much out of it. But to be honest, running back and quarterback are not areas I'm that concerned about. And you're going to be like, oh my God, how can I be concerned about quarterback? We'll talk about that in a minute. The weapons for Winston hashtag that I made fun of Chris for going after. That was the big thing. Get Jameis weapons. You have to wonder if we've given them too many weapons. You've got a coach who's trying to do too much. You've got a quarterback that's trying to do too much. It is astonishing how we can have the amount of firepower on the field that we have and not be able to muster up any scores. I talked about the bad bets on the defensive ends. I thought that they were sketchy. I thought they were concerning. I was always concerned about Jack Smith. But those have certainly hurt us, as well as the linebacking thing and the kicking. Let's talk about Jameis for a little while. I do not understand how anyone who watches this game or is around this team can be anything but excited for what Jameis is. Has he had the season we wanted? No. Does it look like he's regressed? Yes. But you have to have perspective beyond that to bet on a franchise quarterback. It doesn't always happen the way it happens in the storybooks, where they step up and magically everything works well, and they ride off into the sunset with Super Bowl trophies under their arms. On the defensive side of the ball, From a game plan perspective against the Saints, we thought we'd see drags, we thought we'd see rubs, we thought we'd see a number of things. We saw nothing. I have nothing that I could really truly evaluate. We looked so discombobulated, it was pathetic. Our offense has never looked as bad. That's not true. It's probably looked worse. But it hasn't looked as bad in a long time. We were inept at a very strange level. And yes, some of it was Jameis' accuracy on a couple of balls, for sure. It's a fast track. It's indoor. There's no weather to complain about. Lattimore played a good game. Did a good job to hold Mike Evans down a bit. But I'd still take that matchup any day of the week. The fact that we weren't able to get anything to our slot guys, the fact that we weren't able to get our tight ends untracked, is a failure of the coaching staff and a failure of execution. And the fact that we refuse to adjust when the defense shows us what they're doing is absolutely reprehensible from a football perspective. Plays are still coming in too late, which give us very little time to make any adjustments once we're up at the line. And that's a lack of preparation. And that's on the coaching staff. The reason I'm bringing those up is not to beat the coaching staff. And it's not to beat a drum of fire the coaching staff, like I said. It's because those are things you can fix. You can't be, second and two on the 19 and then get back-to-back penalties and take sacks. You just can't do dumb shit like that. Jumping offside, yes, it's a loud facility. Guess what? Shut up. Go silent snap. Play the goddamn game. Other teams deal with it. So you eliminate the things you can. You eliminate delay games. You eliminate false starts as best you can. You can't eliminate holds. They're going to call holds, except for if Gerald McCoy is held, in which case they're never going to call it. But there are some of these penalties you can avoid. You can avoid 15-yard penalties after plays. These are things you can do if you're disciplined, which we're not. Now, I'm not calling for Shiano-esque 69.3 degree discipline because he was a tool bag, still a tool bag. Darkest time in the franchise, in my opinion. Short of the time when we let Doug Williams walk because we wouldn't pay him because he's an African-American quarterback. But Shiano's a close second or third there for what he did to this franchise, in my opinion. But we need discipline. There has to be someone guiding the ship. And I know a lot of you have requested that Dirk not call the plays. Maybe that'll let him do it. Maybe that would work. Listen, at this point, I don't care. Someone has to act like they're the coach. Someone has to act like they know what's going on. And not 2 days after when they've had a chance to look at the film. When you're the head coach, you don't have that luxury. Defensively, if you keep trotting out that soft-ass zone, they're going to keep walking down the field on you, and you're going to have to pray that your offense can score, which we've already proven our offense can't. You have to take the gambles. You have to play more man. You have to play more aggressively, and you have to just admit that sometimes you're going to get beat. The injury to Brent Grimes certainly didn't help. But I think we've seen some development from Ryan Smith, which is good. I think Justin Evans continues to evolve, which is good. But another guy brought in that was supposed to bring leadership, TJ Ward, has not done that. So what happens this week against the Jets, other than the fact that we're going to hear J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets a lot? Well, this team gets to once again try and prove that they have the testicular fortitude to come out and give their fans something to cheer for. Because I got nothing to cheer for in New Orleans. I've had weeks and weeks of nothing to cheer for. I've been implored by the leadership of the team to get loud. We need you to get loud. With all due respect, give me a reason. Make me believe that you guys give a shit. We're going to go out to this tailgate. We're going to have a great time with some great Jets fans, with some great Bucks fans. We're going to try and raise money for great causes. But all of us are going to drink just a little bit more because we know what we're going to have to go watch when we walk into that stadium. We're going to have to watch our team underachieve. Everyone wanted national attention. Everyone wanted the spotlight on our program. Everyone was excited to have all this attention. What have we said for years? It's better to be under the radar. Because when you come in with expectations and you don't meet them, this is the kind of shit that happens. Things spiral out of control. It's a pressure cooker. So what do I hope to see this week? Well, I hope to see some improvements at basics. I hope to see effort at a higher level because there's certainly some dragging ass on defense that I don't like. I didn't go out there and count loafs, but they're all over the place. They're easy to spot. I'd like to see the offensive line develop some sort of a personality, but if they continue with this shuttling shit, I don't think it's possible. And if they can't get the offensive line working, to be honest, I don't have any faith that if you had Ryan Fitzpatrick or Ryan Griffin or Stewie Griffin or Brett Favre back there, this offense would move the ball. Because the combination of an inability to run the ball, to set up play action, or to get 4 yards at a time, and the inability to spend more than 2.75 seconds looking through your progressions, when compounded with the fact that this offense doesn't seem to enable their quarterback to make checks at the line, means the offense is not going to score. It's not that they don't have the talent to score. It's not that they don't have the capability to score. It's not they don't have speed. It's almost like it's a pig-headed choice. It's an option not. It's a goal to be inept. And I know that that can't possibly be true, and I know that that is tainted by my anger and frustration with the team that I love so much. This week with Mike Evans out, we'll see Chris Godwin. I like Chris Godwin. Chris Godwin's not Mike Evans, right? But it doesn't matter because we were using Mike Evans like Mike Evans. Godwin will play good football. I think he was a great pick. But he's not a top five receiver in this league. The Jets are a surprise team. The mighty McCown leading them. the ghost of ASJ re-entering the stadium with a chip on his shoulder. He's just got to hope we don't kick an onside kick to him and watch him drop it down his crotch like he did last week. Clown. I love it that he says, the team that gave up on me. We didn't give up on you. You underperformed. You acted like an asshole and you got sent to another team. Right? We knew what you were when we drafted you. You were a pass-catching tight end. Your physique led me to believe you would not learn how to block. Not because you didn't want to. It's just really, really hard, which was true, and that's okay. But then you have to go out there and be a dominant pass-catching tight end. You weren't, and then you had off-the-field issues. You made your bed. Lie in it and stop acting like a victim. I'm glad you got your shit straight. I'm hoping you're off booze. I'm hoping everything is peaches and cream. But I also hope that you keep our name out of your mouth. You're not good enough to talk shit. But an easy way to keep that stuff quiet is keep him out of the end zone. I remember Donald Penn catching a touchdown here. I love Donald Penn. Everyone in the stadium knew they were going to try and throw the ball to Donald Penn. It doesn't count any more than the other touchdowns, but it hurts a whole lot more, doesn't it? Skulls and swords from the last game. This is going to be hard. I think as a matter of course, I'm just going to give the only sword to Brian Anger. Even though he got a punt blocked, it wasn't his fault. I think he tried to kick it so hard it would kill the guy blocking it. It just was a little bit off. The skull, I think, has to go to Jameis, simply because he underperformed while he was in the game. I could give it to Coach Cutter, but I'm going to give it to Jameis. The pregame thing, I think it's a mountain out of a molehill. I honestly think that he's pressing too hard. But I just don't care. I mean, if you get hyped because of someone's pregame speech, great. If you don't, that's fine too. I don't think it really means two shits. If he goes out there and wins, it's still a goofy pregame speech, but he's a leader. He's trying to lead. It just didn't work. I don't understand why people perseverate over it. But, you know, going out there and then doing the dumb shit on the sideline, you're the leader, Jameis. I love you. I'm riding and dying with you. You've got to be better than that. And I watched this young man come out of that press conference yesterday and answer those questions beautifully, address them beautifully, watch the reporters ask the same questions and have him explain that they asked the same questions. I have no issue with that. But if this team is going to underperform, they put it on your shoulders. They put it on it early. It's a heavy burden to bear. But you're the leader of this franchise, Jameis. And right now the franchise is failing, which means that you're failing too. This week, predictive MVPs on offense and defense. It's hard to guess, to be honest. I want to say that the people I see playing with the most pride are guys like Levante, so I'm going to pull Levante David because I think he really hates how this is going. I used to think Gerald. I still love Gerald, but I think Gerald is about done, and that makes me sad because he's a uniquely talented player. But we don't have the players that's going to step up and say, listen, we're done with this shit. The Saps and the Brooks and the Lynches of the old days. We don't have those guys here. On offense, maybe it's the Deshaun Jackson show, right? There's no risk on the other side of the field. Maybe that's what we'll see. I'll go with Deshaun. That's fine. You know, I never picked the Bucks to lose. I'm not going to start now. But with the level of ineptitude, it's going to be a 17-24 game. Yes, I'm predicting the Bucks will score 24 points. I don't know how. What we'll do in this 2-week hiatus that I've chosen to take is if you have questions or things you want to address on the podcast, send them into questions@whatthebuck.net. And that'll let me keep them in my email box, and I'll try and address them. I'll also try and do some interim releases between now and then. But to be honest, I just didn't feel like staying up till 11 o'clock tonight doing this. I've been with you guys for 12 years. Our team has been with you for 12 years. We've got a team of people that make What the Buck happen and What the Buck Really Matters happen. And other than the time where I wore a black T-shirt to the games because I was so embarrassed by what Greg Schiano did, I've never been as disgusted as a fan. I've never been as let down as a fan. And I hope that turns around. I really do. Because at some point, as a fan, I have to make the decision about whether it's worth it to be a fan anymore. I had never been pushed to that limit before. Like, even when I was mad at Shiano, I was mad at Shiano. This is the first time I've ever gone, am I really putting my priorities right? Should I be spending more time with my family instead? And I spend a lot of time with my family. If you guys know me, you know that. But still, these are the decisions that all of us make. We make choices to invest in this as a passion. And for the most, for the first time, the most visceral time, I feel as though it is not reciprocated. And it may have always been true. And many of you have said that. Many players have said that. Many player spouses have said that. That fans live in a fantasy world where they think that players care as much about the game and about them as they care about it. I think there are certainly instances where that is true. I hope to find more because I like the escapism that this game provides. I love the camaraderie, the friendships, the relationships it's built across the country and across the world for us. I've got some of my best friends through this. But I'm getting sick and fucking tired of spending the amount of money that I spend and the amount of time that I spend following around a team who doesn't seem to give a shit. Now, maybe with the benefit of 2 weeks off from live podcasts, a lot of alcohol or less alcohol, you know, either way might work, I'll feel better about it. But as it stands right now, guys, I don't have a lot of rah-rah for you. I hope that they give me a reason. I hope that I get into the stadium and they give me a reason to believe, a la Wilson Phillips. Yes, that's a Wilson Phillips reference, ladies and gentlemen. The thing I can tell you for sure is I'm going to be there early. My team is going to be there early. Our staff, the What the Buck staff, the What the Buck Really Matters staff is going to be there early. We're going to set up the only Hall of Fame tailgate in Tampa. We're going to have a great time with friends from around the country and around the globe. We're going to raise money for an amazing cause in Movember. And we're going to give you the best pregame experience you've ever had. We've done that over 100 times in a row. That's not stopping. Bucks, you've got the ball. Make us believe. Because if you think it's bad now, wait till you get to the end of the season with this kind of shit. Because it can definitely get worse. Until next time, Old School signing off. I will see you guys at the game on Sunday. If you have any questions about the tailgate, get out to whatthebuck.net. Click on tailgate. You'll see the itinerary for this week. You'll see our sponsors. Again, if you could, you know, let me whore out a little bit to our sponsors because they're amazing people. If you haven't gone out and liked their Facebook pages or followed them on Twitter, thank them for doing the things they do. These people support us. They help us do the things we do. It would mean the world if you could do that. Steps Towing, Pepin Distributing, Don Q Rum, Tito's Vodka, Steakhouse Elite, Burgers and Dogs. Those guys are absolutely second to none. We would really, really appreciate it if you go out there and let them know that you appreciate them helping us. I also want to send a special shout out to my friends at Taylor. We'll have some things from Captain Morgan this week that they sent down. So a little shout out to them. And we'll show you when we get there. We'll do some text messages and some tweets while we're there. So until then, I'll see you guys on Twitter. And I will see you at the game on Sunday. Go Bucks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Scoo! Scoo!
Yeah. Well, like Bugs Bunny, man, I think that's all, folks. My man, Oaks, just shut down another show. Same game, same time for the past 11 years. Guess what? Next week, we gon' be right here. Talking about the Bucks and having a good time. We give it to you straight, don't need to be between the lines. The beat drop hard every time I hit the nine. And if you didn't know it, this is Franco on the rhymes. Yeah. 11 years strong, y'all. It's the What the Buck podcast. My man, Derek, they call him Old School. Nothing can stop us, man. It's What the Buck. It's What the Buck. Yeah. It's What the Buck. Yeah. It's What the Buck, man. Nothing can stop us, man. It's What the Buck.